With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 31st. Coming up today.
For the first time ever, a former U.S. president has been indicted.
Donald Trump could be arraigned on charges as early as Tuesday.
The former president calls it political persecution and election interference.
And we have complete team coverage straight ahead.
The NYPD searches for those responsible for drugging robbery victims, plus protesters packed the Tennessee Capitol after the Nashville school shooting. I'm Michael Barr. Ahead.
I'm John Stanchauer in sports. Opening day wins for the Mets and Yankees. The Devils stop the Rangers. The Knicks play in Cleveland tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, the business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. Each morning on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
It is a historic moment in American politics and law. For the first time ever, a former U.S. president is facing criminal charges. A grand jury in Manhattan is going ahead with a case against Donald Trump over hush payments to a porn star during the 2016 campaign. We have team coverage for you this morning, beginning with Bloomberg Politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno. She says this will add fuel to a 2024 campaign for Trump that is already driven by grievance.
His message has always been not just that he's a victim, but that his supporters are a victim, that this is a witch hunt, not just against him, but of them. And he always says, if they can do this to me, they'll do this to you.
Bloomberg Politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno and former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz says this is a big political gamble for Manhattan's district attorney, Alvin Bragg.
As a prosecutor, you better have all your ducks lined up, all your facts, all your witnesses set into place before you bring that indictment. On the other hand, they are racing against the political clock because they are not unmindful of the fact that there is an election coming up.
Robert Mintz with the law firm McCarter & English, former President Trump's lawyer, says his client could be arraigned as early as Tuesday.
Well, Nathan, just moments after the news broke, the former president came out with a statement blasting the indictment, and we get details from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The former president came out swinging when he learned of the indictment. Trump said Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is behind a political witch hunt, and he called the indictment, quote, political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. He went on to say, quoting again, the American people realize exactly what the radical left Democrats are doing here. Trump's attorney says the former president plans to appear before New York authorities. He has not been told about the specific charges. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. And already Mike Pence is weighing in on the news. The former vice president tells CNN he thinks the prosecution of former President Trump is politically motivated, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter continues our team coverage.
Pence says Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg ran on prosecuting Donald Trump.
Been a long time since I was in law school, but I remember the old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich. right? The threshold, the burden of proof is very low. Prosecutors make decisions, discretionary decisions, about what they bring all the time.
Pence also says he will decide on whether to testify on the classified document in January 6 investigations in the next few days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. So we're also getting reaction from Capitol Hill as lawmakers worry about the potential for violence in the wake of the indictment. Amy Morris continues our coverage from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for peace by both Trump's critics and supporters. California Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell says the indictment is a somber day for America and urged, quote, "Let us neither celebrate nor destroy." Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted, quote, "The gloves are off," and that Trump is the only one standing in the way of tyrants. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she hopes former President Trump will peacefully respect the justice system. Current House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted, "The American people will not tolerate this injustice." In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Amy. So now that this highly anticipated indictment has come down, what are the next legal steps for the former president? Bloomberg legal analyst June Grosso has that angle as we continue our team coverage.
In some respects, Trump will be treated like other high-profile defendants. The Manhattan DA's office will work out a date and time for his surrender with his attorneys. Trump will be booked and fingerprinted, and his mugshot will be taken, like any other defendant. He'll then be escorted to the courtroom for his arraignment. But remember, unlike other defendants, Trump will have a Secret Service contingent with him at all times, and there'll be no need to discuss bail.
Bloomberg's June Grosso reports officials have been in contact with Trump's attorney to coordinate his surrender for arraignment.
Well, Nathan, this historic case will not be an easy one for the judge who's eventually assigned to it. We spoke with former federal prosecutor Michael Zeldin.
Well, it's going to be a big issue for the judge to make sure that the jury selection process is fair to the defendant and fair to the prosecution. And I expect that'll take a long time.
Michael Zeldin is a former federal prosecutor and served as special counsel to Robert Mueller at the Justice Department. Zeldin points out that Trump's announced run for president could complicate proceedings in this case.
And of course, Karen, this case isn't the only potential legal woe for Donald Trump. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live in New York with the details on that. Steve.
That's right, Nathan and Karen. The numerous legal actions pending against the former president include criminal investigations by a prosecutor in Georgia and the Justice Department regarding efforts to overturn the 2020 election. DOJ is also probing whether Trump broke the law by storing classified records at his Mar-a-Lago home. On the civil side, there's a defamation charge from a woman who claims Trump raped her, the New York Attorney General suing Trump and his company, and lawsuits from Capitol Police officers injured in the January 6th riot. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 39 degrees in New York. It's going to turn cloudy today. Showers developing by late afternoon on our way near 55. Temperatures will rise overnight as showers continue. Let's take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The fallout continues from Russia's detainment of an American journalist. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is confirming his office is in touch with the Wall Street Journal, where American journalist Evan Gershkovich is employed. Russian authorities detained Gershkovich, accusing him of spying. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called the espionage charges ridiculous.
We condemn the detention of Mr. Gershkovich in the strongest terms. We also condemn the Russian government's continued targeting and repression of journalists.
State Department officials are now urging U.S. citizens residing or traveling in Russia to depart immediately, citing numerous safety risks. Authorities are looking for the people responsible for more than 40 druggings linked to robberies around Manhattan clubs. Seven of the druggings, dating back to September of 2021, were fatal. Prosecutors believe at least six people are connected. So far, no one has been arrested for the crimes, including second-degree murder. Angry over the deadly school shooting in Nashville, hundreds of protesters packed into the Tennessee Capitol to demand action from lawmakers. The demonstrators demanded new gun safety legislation, including red flag laws and background checks.
People are heartbroken and angry, and the sense of powerlessness is really, really strong.
because our legislator generally tries to ignore this stuff, so we had to get in their faces.
Six people, including three children, were killed in Monday's mass shooting. Officials vow to ramp up defense against cyber threats toward the United States. At the Advancing Technology Summit in Washington, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says, "We know we must do more to protect vulnerable groups.
We will extend our ongoing cybersecurity work to communities at heightened risk of targeting by sophisticated cyber threat actors."
Secretary Mayorkas and other officials say digital repression and manipulation are means for authoritarian governments to manipulate the information their citizens absorb. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Time now for our Bloomberg Sports Update on the morning after pretty decent opening day, John Stashower.
Nathan, it's something that happened 62 times last year, and it happened again.
Pitch is swung on and hit in the air to center field in deep. Back goes Yastrzemski on the track, at the wall. She is gone. Unbelievable. Aaron Judge, in his first at-bat of the year, hits a home run to dead center. It is a Judgian blast.
That's, of course, John Sterling, WFAN. Judge's first swing of the season. Gleyber Torres later, a patented Yankee Stadium right field homer, came with a man on. Yanks won their opener 5-0 over the Giants, a game where both teams struck out 16 times. Gerrit Cole fanned 11 in six innings, most ever by a Yankee in an opener. Ron Marinaccio pitched the last two. Anthony Volpe called it the most fun day of his only 21-year-old life as the new Yankee shortstop made his big league debut. Mets in Miami led 3-0 sixth inning. Max Scherzer was cruising. The Marlins tied the game, but the Mets got a two-run double in the seventh from Brandon Nimmo and won 5-3. Scherzer the winner, and David Robertson got the save. He's now the closer with the season-long injury to Edwin Diaz and another Met injury, not nearly as serious, but Justin Verlander begins the season on the injured list. Muscle strain near his shoulder. Verlander said if this was the postseason, he would pitch. Julius Randle has a sprained ankle, won't play the last five games of the Knicks regular season. Starting tonight in Cleveland, with almost certainly a playoff preview, as was the game last night in Newark. Devils, two goals in the first period, enough for a 2-1 win over the Rangers, who just gave 23-year-old Philip Hedel a four-year contract extension. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalize and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at idaireland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers, they're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. The 2024 presidential race is now moving into uncharted territory. For the first time, a former U.S. president, Donald Trump, is facing a criminal indictment. Of course, Trump is the first president to be impeached twice. And now this legal issue comes as the former president is seeking re-election in a campaign already driven by grievance and shadowed by multiple legal challenges. For more on where this goes from here and the impact on the campaigns, we are joined by a couple of top Washington analysts, Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy, and Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Gentlemen, it's good to speak with you both. I'll start with you, Terry, to get your reaction to this indictment and what it means for the presidential race.
Good morning, Nathan. Three points at the top. First, I think this is sad for the country, which deserves a lot better than endless bread and circuses that both Trump is providing and, in this case, the legal profession is providing. You can't have bread and circuses without bakers and cooks, so let's not forget that. Secondly, sad for the legal profession. I mean, what you've got here is, I think, politicized justice with a fairly weak case. That's not good for how the legal profession is viewed in the country. Finally, I'll say it's non-consensus on the politics. I think this the conventional wisdom is that this strengthens Trump in primaries, makes it weaker with Biden and all the rest. I think it's likelier to cause more Trump fatigue. And since Trump fatigue is a key part of DeSantis's pitch, I think it's likelier to help DeSantis. Finally, it's, you know, the country sees straight through this as politicized. 60% see it as politically motivated, and 67% think Trump's payment was a personal expense. So, this may play well in Manhattan. It doesn't play well in the country, and it's not good for the country.
Greg, is that how you see it as well? Is that possible that we could see Trump weakened by this indictment in the longer term?
Well, good morning. I'm struck by how much we don't know yet. We don't know what's in this sealed document. Is it just hush money? Is it obstruction of justice? So there's a lot more to come out. And I'd say the big takeaway for me is that this is just the hors d'oeuvre. This is just the beginning of these cases. There's a very strong case, I think, in Georgia of Trump trying to obstruct and deny the election result there. I think there's obviously a case involved with January 6th. What did Trump do? And finally, I think that the whole issue of these top secret documents that wound up in Mar-a-Lago could lead to an indictment as well. So this is just the beginning. There's a long process to go.
Yeah, I do want to get to more on those cases as well. But we've already gotten a reaction, a statement from the former president when it comes to this looming indictment. He's calling it political persecution and election interference at the highest level in American history. That's part of a lengthy statement that he put out last night. And we talked about it earlier with Bloomberg Politics contributor Jeannie Shianzano about how former President Trump might try to capitalize on this particular indictment. Here's what Jeannie had to say.
He is going to use it, he says, to make the case that he is the victim of political persecution, the victim of election interference, that this has been a plan by Democrats. And he uses these sort of tropes that he talks about in these statements about Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, and others that are xenophobic and racist. He's used them and tried to use them to his advantage. And of course, his numbers, by the way, in the last month have double digit gone up.
Yeah. And to your point, Terry, you are saying that this is sort of a non-consensus view, that this weakens Trump longer term. But what about that? I mean, he has in the past been able to galvanize his base, particularly when he's been able to sort of grab onto these grievance issues and use them to his advantage.
No, that's absolutely so. People forget in 2016 that Trump had a kind of a nugget of a base of about 30 or 40%, and then and ended up becoming the nominee in part because there were so many other nominees carving up the 60-70% majority. So that's certainly still possible. My only comment is that 2016 and 2024 are two very different situations here. And there's always going to be a nugget of support for Trump. The bigger question doesn't have much to do with these prosecutions. And the prosecution, frankly, validates the Trump's point of view. So I think, unfortunately, so there we are. But you know, 2024, there's also a rising feeling in the party, number one, and there's a rising feeling among the swing voters that tend to determine presidential elections, that there's a very substantial case of enough is enough. Regardless, we've seen the act before, we've been living it for the past 8 or 9 years, and enough already. And my view is very simply that everybody focuses on the Trump base, and they're not thinking enough about the enough already folks, which are much more numerous.
Really curious to hear what you think, Greg, about the idea of enough already voters being out there. It seems like views on the former president have pretty much calcified for a lot of people. Are there many swing voters left when it comes to former President Trump?
I think there are some that can be moved, Nathan. Just to follow up on what Terry said, enough is enough. I wonder what Mitch McConnell is thinking this morning. I mean, he was looking at an election that would revolve around issues that would help the Republicans, the uncertainty over the economy, crime, problems at the border with the illegal immigration. The Republicans have a long list of issues that I think are quite potent, but they're going to get bogged down once again on Donald Trump. And there was a Pavlovian reaction yesterday from Kevin McCarthy and all the Republicans rushing to Trump's defense. After the second or third indictment with these other cases that loom, I think a lot of Republicans may have to regret all of the wonderful things they said about Donald Trump last night.
You raise an interesting point there, and I think back to after the second impeachment, when Senator McConnell came to the Senate floor to explain his vote to acquit the now former president, saying that he could face potential prosecution over some of these issues as a private citizen. Terry, what about some of these other cases that are coming over the president now? We are getting closer to a 2024 race where it might get more difficult to pursue some of these pretty heavy cases against the former president, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and those cases are not without peril for Democrats as well. You have, in addition to the New York case, you've got this Georgia election case where the law may be stronger, but I think the facts are relatively weak, and you know that'll take some time to get moving. And finally, you have the whole Mar-a-Lago documents issue, and that looked one way in October, and looked another way in November after we found out that President Biden had a generally similar issue. Withholding documents, and you can slice and dice the differences between those all day, but in the end, what you're going to have is the Justice Department saying, "Look, we have to be real sure, and it has to be real big." And I think they'll faff around with that for quite a bit, and then figure out that they might not want to pursue that, not only because the law isn't there, the law and the facts aren't there, but because it'll also make the Justice Department itself look very politicized. So, you know, I think we've got, in the end, with these prosecutions, as much as anti-Trump people are salivating this morning, I think we've got a lot more sizzle than steak.
We're speaking with Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy, by phone, joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak, and Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist for AGF Investments, with us via Zoom. Greg, I want to ask you about how this could potentially affect policymaking in Washington. We have gotten a lot of reaction, as we would come to expect, from lawmakers on Capitol Hill in terms of the politics of this case against former President Trump. But as you mentioned, we have a debt ceiling fight to come. We have fights over spending to come and a very divided government, very different points of view between Republicans and President Biden. When you have former president facing a criminal prosecution, does that put some of those policy issues, things that need to get done in Washington, on hold?
Well, I'm not sure we could get any more polarized than we already are. So I don't know that this makes, for example, getting a debt ceiling deal easier or tougher, because that's still going to dominate. Let me make this point, Nathan. For the markets, and we talk to a lot of people, all three of us in mm-hmm. the markets, I think for the markets, this is not a big deal. Futures are up this morning. The big story for the markets today is not Donald Trump. It's that we get the personal consumption expenditures number,
right,
and we get to see what the inflation data is. The Fed pays a lot of attention to that number. So in many respects, the markets will just go on looking at economic data, looking at earnings. This story will not have a big impact. However, you've got to say, from a political standpoint, it does complicate things here in Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. And Terry, what do you think? Can government walk and chew gum at the same time when it comes to dealing with the politics of a prosecution against a former president and getting policy done in Washington?
The reaction from Republicans will be that it's more important than ever to walk and chew gum at the same time. They had a good week politically with the energy bill, for example. They had a good week, both Democrats and Republicans, on the banking scandal hearings, which I think actually marginally helped markets in a lot of different ways by showing people that drawing lines under the idea that this is not a systemic event. And they will want to continue to push on that, and they will want to continue to carve out identity, frankly, that's very distinct from Trump. You know, the people in Washington, people in New York, national types always think about elections through a national prism, when in fact, you know, these people represent states and districts, and it's important to them to have a record for their state and district to talk about and to go back on. They got elected on something they've been pushing up till today, saying that they want to accomplish certain things. They'll double down and want to accomplish those even more. They do not want to have their political fates tied to Trump one way or the other.
Greg, how does this affect President Biden's political fate? We're still waiting for him to make the formal announcement that he's running for re-election. You have to imagine that the White House is going to face questions about the former president's indictment. How does President Biden deal with this?
It's a really good question. I think that he will stay fairly subdued on this. He won't pile on. I think that, you know, he probably feels that he has to run for a second term because there's no logical successor in the Democratic Party, and that he's got to run. So I think that Biden will wait as long as possible before announcing. He will focus on issues, but my sense is that they're not going to go after Trump super aggressively. What's the old saying? If your enemy is self-destructing, you know, there's no need to pile on right now.
Do you agree with that, Terry? And what what does this mean for potential Republican contenders against former President Trump? We're waiting for a number of them to make their announcements as well.
Sure. I think Greg's right that the White House itself remains subdued. But, you know, Democrats generally, national Democrats, think they're getting the scenario they want. Remember the great Al Holbrook line and all the president's men, and I'm not drawing Watergate comparisons here, but, you know, okay, like, you know, they wanted to run against McGovern. Look who they're running against. You know, like they want to run against Trump. Look who they're running against. And you're in a situation where, they want the situation where, you know, as Biden's talking points are always MAGA Republicans, MAGA Republicans. They want the situation where they can say for the next 2 years, it's me or bad orange man. And, they think today they're getting that. This is frankly one reason why I point out that the alternative, the DeSantis business, where Trump fatigue kicks in, I think is actually the more likely scenario.
Yeah. Terry Haynes,
hey,
the founder of... Yeah, Greg, real quickly.
Real quick point. If Trump is weakened and DeSantis hasn't done that well lately, there is still another avenue for one more candidate. I think that other candidate is going to be Glenn Youngkin.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.